Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Thomas Vaitelavicius, Head of Digital Marketing at a shared economy startup, the world's largest marketplace of parking, Just Park. How are you doing, Thomas?
Good, good, good. Hey, Andy. Thanks for having me.
That was a long intro, wasn't it? Tell us a bit about yourself and a bit about Just Park.
So as you said, we're still a startup in the sharing economy. One of the first companies started doing sharing economy things in the UK, started in 2007, 2008, and since then have been going from strength to strength. Had a record-breaking crowdfunding round in February, and since then have really started to build a real business on top of the startup foundation. And that's when I joined, a lot of the marketing team joined, product development was expanded, and yeah, we're quite confident in the product and just trying to do all of the right things to make sure that the British public end up seeing our product and enjoying it.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about large site SEO architecture, but just before we do, because I'm intrigued by your business model, just can you summarize just in a few sentences how Just Park works, what it does?
So it started as Park at My House, so slightly different brand name, and it was purely targeted at getting underused or unused driveways or kind of personal parking spaces available to the general public. So anybody with the driveway would be able to list their space for free on the website.
Yeah.
And anybody needing to park would be able to park at a pre-booked guaranteed space for whatever period they want. And normally the prices end up being up to 70% cheaper than on street. And we take a cut off of the rental price, and that's how we make money. I think around a year ago, we rebranded to Just Park because we opened up business to the car park operators, hotels, pubs, churches, other institutions that also have sometimes a number of spaces that are unused or underused, and. Well, at the moment, we're trying to do anything that's in our power to make sure that we have all available space, or at least available spaces in every area that people would want to park.
That sounds amazing. And what countries are you operating in, Thomas?
Primarily UK, even though the technologically the website does support most of the world. I think I was just checking today, we have maybe 20,000 spaces in US and a few thousand spaces in a few other countries.
Yeah.
But the focus is just making UK right, or getting UK right, and we build on that.
Okay, so let's talk about the website. I mean, we tend to think about SEO as a series of techniques, but I mean, the word architecture implies some sort of structure to me. What components make up this structure in your view?
So there's all the technical side. So you can look at that in a structural way and make sure that you've got systems in place that ensure that you build up a website based on data in a logical manner, and that you have systems in place that ensure the website doesn't break when you after you've released your changes. But I think as much as the technical things, the architecture for me implies the other structure, which is structuring the teams, structuring the resources within the company to make sure that the SEO actually happens, that it gets implemented and gets supported across all of the departments. So that's a big part of what I've been focusing at Rightmove, which started as a startup a bit over a decade ago. But by the time I joined, it was already a 300 people company. So a lot of the corporate things were coming into place, and we need to support that, making sure that across all of the different departments, people are up to speed and pitching in. And at Just Barak, we are growing. I think we are about 50 people now. So those kind of organizational bits are becoming more important now.
I mean, you touched on this just now. I know we've spoken about this before on the podcast. I mean, there are often challenges between the priorities of the tech team sort of versus the priorities of the SEO team. How did you solve this problem?
Yes, that's a very real and present challenge, and we had to spend a lot of time trying to build early buy-in. So I'd say with Just Barak, even before I started, it was a condition of me starting at the company that resources would be made available kind of in a semi-ring fenced way. For when we actually want to do all the SEO enhancements. And what I found, as you said, the priorities between the product development and the SEO team, well, I found that SEO projects, and especially in a way that I like to pitch them, which is kind of keeping or making clear the fact that we don't know exactly what the impact is going to be. So talking much more about the best practices and the expected improvements on inputs. So if we're making changes to our architecture, maybe we're trying to adjust the crawl or the indexation, but not necessarily making the leap and saying, okay, this will generate X percent growth in traffic and it's going to generate tens of thousands of extra pounds in revenue. What that does is it normally places SEO projects at a disadvantage against a lot of the other projects that product development teams have on their roadmaps. Whereas with other projects, oftentimes you're either building or fixing some sort of revenue generating flow, and it's much easier to make predictions for however accurate they are, but it's quite a sensible thing to make predictions on the revenue that's going to be generated. With SEO, I found that the early buy-in was quite crucial because with the dedicated resource that we have here and with the dedicated resource that we eventually managed to build up to at Rightmove, we've been able to do things that on a project-by-project basis are quite hard to quantify. But with the best practice SEO knowledge, kind of using the latest techniques or learnings from the industry, we are able to provide a very good return, just not on an individual kind of project appraisal basis. And yeah, so the early buy-in, then kind of throughout the process of working with the different teams, education is quite crucial.
Yeah.
Making sure that both the kind of owners of the product development streams, as well as whoever the people that marketing and SEO report into, are as much as possible up to date with how SEO works, what are the uncertainties, and how we operate within those. And yeah, building on that and just keeping everybody in the loop on the assumptions that we make in putting together the stories or projects, as opposed to just asking people to trust us and then asking them to do a project where the return is very uncertain.
I'm just wondering, actually, a bit of a side question, a technical question. What do you guys use to communicate in the business?
Well, meetings, I find are quite good for much of that.
Yeah, nothing quite like face-to-face. I was almost expecting a kind of, oh yes, we use Slack or we tend to use email. But it's quite interesting now that a lot of people are using sort of Slack and things like that.
Yeah, well, we use HipChat, which I've not used Slack, but I think it's a similar kind of internal messaging service.
Yeah.
But I found for the meetings where I want to perform at my best and get the most buy-in, the most impact out of the meeting, I found the face-to-face meetings best and have the best return.
Yeah, it's nothing quite like a face-to-face meeting.
Yes, just going back to the old school ways, at least some of the time. I think a lot of the things can be streamlined with Slack, HipChat, or even just resorting to email or automated tracking in Jira and other places.
Yeah. Just going back to the buy-in and the communication between teams, I know that sometimes there's difficulty with sort of sharing the ability to understand the severity of SEO problems. How have you coped with that, Thomas?
Yeah, well, as I said, it's kind of trying to apprehend the levels of knowledge amongst the different parties, and then just trying to get everybody at least to a common level of understanding where people would move off from this kind of old school way of thinking about SEO as a big black box where some experts know what to do and it magically happens and nobody else can understand it. Whereas I find it much more constructive to be in an environment where everybody understands that no expert knows exactly what changes need to be done and what the impact will be. So that's quite healthy. But everybody understands that there are best practices which, if followed through, they do amount to increases in rankings and the extra traffic and revenue that everybody wants to see. But that the uncertainty in the middle has to be appreciated and taken on.
Yeah.
And the companies that shy away from it, they shy away from the uncertainty, but in the end they lose out to the companies that are able to take it on, work within the uncertain landscape, and actually end up outranking them, and in the long term get much higher return on this investment than paid for marketing or other online marketing avenues.
Now, there's a difference, isn't there? We're talking about ownership now. There's a difference of ownership between sort of product development, marketing, sort of tech and SEO. That can cause problems as well, can't it? How do you deal with that?
So in following on from the education piece, I found that, let's say at JustPod, it is the founder that currently essentially owns product development and marketing. That really facilitates the discussion of SEO projects and their place in the roadmap, and also as I was saying previously about the early buy-in and kind of education levels of the different parties. Our founder here was the person who actually built the website and supported it up until the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
And he actually has good hands-on experience, at least a little bit of SEO. So that really facilitates things. At Rightmove, it was quite different. The marketing team and product development teams were reasonably separate, and they only reported into the same person at the very top level. So managing director was a person who essentially oversaw both sides. Mm. At that point, the kind of approach was to try and educate the head of marketing and head of product development as much as possible on the kind of the underlying principles of SEO and the uncertainty that we have to work in, mm-hmm. As well as getting both of those heads of departments on the ball with the performance of the website and performance of the business, because what we had initially was very much so a split between marketing focusing on acquisition and product development as a team, having their goals and their sights really on conversion and kind of getting constructive behavior out of people that have arrived to the website. That is quite problematic because SEO is much more about getting people to the website. Yeah. But we needed to work very closely with product development, and we were asking them to compromise on the process that they wanted to do, or in the ways and the manners that they wanted to execute them. So getting both of those department heads looking at the website performance as a whole, and kind of in between of them owning both the acquisition metrics and the conversion performance metrics was quite useful, because then if we were struggling to get through with SEO projects and that was having an impact on our traffic, it was becoming very clear to both heads of departments that both of them have to pitch in. And from the marketing side, it's normally much easier because in the standard setup, normally it's the head of marketing that is responsible for the overall traffic. So getting support from social, from PR, from other parts of marketing is a bit easier. But having the head of product development involved with the acquisition performance makes it easier to get access to resource, and all the while, obviously, keeping the CEO or managing director, depending on the company, as much involved as possible. Again, so that they kind of you have a sponsor of sorts who understands what SEO is trying to do and why. Why is it that different teams have to make space or make resource available for the SEO project?
Well, thanks so much, Thomas. It's always interesting to find out how people sort of overcome these sort of communication problems between the different areas inside a team. How can our listeners sort of find you and find Just Park?
I'm easily found on Twitter. I'm at Earned Marketing. About Just Park, if you search for Just Park, then you'll obviously find our website, but you'll find a lot of media stories about the crowdfunding, about the business model, and about the different projects that we're working on or different products that we're bringing to the market.
Well, Thomas, thanks so much for that. And thanks for listening, audience. Show notes are at sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast, usual place. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. And we love reviews. So if you want to review the podcast, please give us your honest review. In terms of contacting us, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. And we have a telephone hotline, +44 1273 256 150, if you want to leave a question or a comment. So that's all from me, Andy White, and it's all from Thomas.
Thanks, Andy. See you guys.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.